This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
So glad you're here. It's been a good week in the Lord. I'm constantly reminded of, as Eric prayed, that so grateful for. I can remember thinking that as we talked about Jesus last week, we're just talking about certain events, either while Jesus is on the cross or leading up to the cross, and that he would actually say, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And after just looking at it over and over and just going over the sermon in my head and in my heart after Sunday, I'm just so grateful because I would have been that one person. I would have been that person mocking and I did. Many of you guys kind of know the big stroke of my life. I've not shared the fine details of my life. I'm too embarrassed to share publicly. But prior to Christ, the fine details, I'm amazed how many times I denied Christ. I mocked him and figuratively spit on him, reject him. I laughed at him. And yet, he did that on the cross for me. I was rebellious, and you know, we talked about ignorance. Even though we might do things out of ignorance, the law is still broken. And maybe when I was really young, I was ignorant of my rebelliousness. But as I especially came to an age of understanding my lostness, it became, I was belligerent towards the Lord. I mocked him. One time, I was in a church service and I sit in the back, and I had a friend of mine was feeling the conviction of God on his heart. I don't laugh because I think it's funny. I have a little quirk. Sometimes I laugh in serious things. So if you tell me something serious and I start laughing, please don't take offense to it. Not as bad as my friend Gary Miller, but in that same vein. There he was. I could see him. I'm literally thinking he is taking this sermon seriously. So I was goofing around in the back, being distractive. And the pastor was asking for people to accept, you know, Jesus into their lives. And as he's about to lift his hand up, I grab it. I said, "Craig, you don't want to do that." And he didn't. And so, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Those were the people that didn't truly understand. Yet at that age, I was probably 18 years old, I did understand. Yet God, in his mercy, loved me in spite of I was an enemy of God. It's interesting, I prayed it last week. One time I was an enemy of God. I hated him, yet he still loved me. I was lost, yet he went looking for me and found me. Not that I was asking to be found, but he pursued me. I was rebellious, and I pray now that I'm a willing, loving follower of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Last week, I mentioned at the end, I was trying to use some analogies that millennials would understand. So we talked about Breaking Bad. And so I was that person. I was the antagonist in this story. So I'm very just grateful for what the Lord has done. And today I want to talk to you about being betrayed. Have any of you ever been betrayed? You don't have to raise your hand. I've been betrayed. I've been betrayed by the Minnesota Vikings. in the 70s. I remember going onto a bus, and I made a bet with a kid that I'll bet you $3 that the Vikings are gonna win. And sure enough, they lost, and I did not have $3 to my name. And it's so interesting, as I look back, I felt obligated to pay up, probably because he was gonna beat me up. So I did the right thing, and I stole the money from my brother, from his piggy bank, and then paid my debts. So, don't want to make light of being betrayed, but I have been betrayed, and I'll talk to you of that in a second. But I was thinking of some famous betrayals. Thinking that my kids have seen this movie, but when Scar betrayed Mufasa. Anybody remember that? Made me want to get, I got really mad in the movie. Some of you might be a little older. You might remember when Fredo Corleone betrayed Michael Corleone. Anybody remember that? Famous story when Brutus betrayed Caesar. Maybe American history when Benedict Arnold betrayed the Continental Army and surrendered West Point. Some of you older millennials remember when Cypher betrayed Apoc and Dozer and almost Neo in The Matrix. Some of you younger whippersnappers remember, I think I'm saying it right, Severus Snape as the undercover agent of Lord Voldemort. I knew a guy named Voldemort, that's why. I too was betrayed. I was betrayed, and I'm not going to go into detail. Some of you know the story. I felt like I was betrayed by a fellow worker. I loved him like a son. I felt like I did everything I could to help him. But apparently it wasn't enough, and it happened to me. Never thought it would. I felt angry. I felt embarrassed. I felt sad. I felt mostly shocked and hurt, confused. I felt all sorts of these emotions of being betrayed. But none of those examples that I mentioned, whether they're based on truth or just stories and movies, nothing like what Jesus felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 26. We're going to be reading. It's going to be quite a bit of reading. And even though it's super late, wow, I will do my best to finish. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him." They schemed to arrest Jesus and secretly kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." Jesus anointed at Bethany. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured out on his head as he was reclining at the table. And when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price, the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. And when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. There's a whole sermon in that little spot. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" And you know the story. He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared them the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.'" I can only imagine if I was in that at that table, I would probably think, it ain't me, you know. But now looking back, it would have. "They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' And Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." And Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let me just repeat the verse 27. Then he took the cup when he had given thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Verse 29, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if I fall away on the account of you, I never will." A few more verses. It's a long chapter. "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Lord, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." When he went away the second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back again, he found them sleeping. So once more, he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." And while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, with him a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Help us to be more appreciative than we arrived this morning of who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. A few things I noticed on this passage as I try to focus on the most important thing is that it is interesting. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'm sure I read this, but I noticed that the first Adam began life in a garden. Jesus, the second Adam, comes to the end of his life in the garden. In the first garden, Adam sinned, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus overcomes sin. In Eden, Adam falls. Jesus in Gethsemane is victorious. In Eden, Adam hides himself. In Gethsemane, Jesus boldly steps up and presents himself. And I don't think these things are coincidental in this story. There's multiple stories in the gospel in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but I'd like for us to just concentrate on Matthew. And when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples in John 18. He crossed the Kidron Valley, which is interesting. I have read this passage a zillion times, and I've passed over it. John 18:1. When he had finished praying, Jesus left his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. Not until you look at your geography maps in the back of the Bible that I used to do. You probably don't do that anymore, do you? For those of us who carry Bibles, there was always maps in the back, and you just kind of look at them. But it's until you, when you're a kid, sometimes that's what you would do, is just look at the maps. So I decided to look at the map, and it's interesting. It's interesting what Jesus had to do. He crossed over the Kidron Valley. Now, in Jerusalem, it was a celebration of Passover, and they had to slaughter lambs, lots of them, lots and lots, thousands and thousands of lambs to be slaughtered for sacrifice. And what would happen to the blood? Blood would drain into like a little ravine and flow its way down to the Kidron Valley. There's an estimation of 200,000 lambs were slain. So when Jesus crosses over the Kidron Valley, it's filled with the blood of sacrifices. And again, I don't think this is just coincidental. I think maybe because of it's 2,000 years later, we don't understand geography there, that we may miss some things. In Matthew 26, he says he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be, what it says, he was sorrowful and troubled. In Mark 14:35, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And this is what Jesus says: "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Have you ever been there? Jesus actually says, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." I believe that Jesus is not like overwhelmed and from the anticipation of the physical pain that he's going to endure. There's such a greater pain. Not only the betrayal of his disciples, his followers, but I would say the silence from God. Him taking on our sins, and we sang about it so beautifully this morning. And 1 Peter says in chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Can you imagine drinking the cup of sins of the whole world? He himself bore our sins. So Jesus, these are powerful words. He says, "Yet not my will be done, but yours." There are many times I wanted to respond in the flesh. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But this story of Jesus has changed me. It's challenged me. Jesus says, yet not what I want, but what you want. He drinks from the cup of death so that you and I can drink from the cup of life and salvation. Now, Judas says, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. Jesus is betrayed. What I am just amazed as I'm reading this story and admirably shocked that Jesus doesn't run away to save his life. He stands up and faces his accuser. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. A large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. One I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. He didn't make a run for it. So as we look at the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, it's not a tragedy story. Yes, it's about betrayal. It's about hurts. But God is going to turn around this scenario. God can turn around these betrayals and hurts and redeem them like he did in my life and your life. He's redeemed us. Some of you, as Eric prayed, because Eric and I did not, coordinate notes, but he talked about maybe some of you might be going through dark times. And many of us, if not all of us, have had tragedy strike our lives. And maybe your world is falling apart. But the beautiful thing is that Romans 8:28, because of Jesus, and we know all things work together for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. If Jesus had not drank from the cup of betrayal and sin, we would not be here today. So I'm so grateful that God was able to turn that story around for redemption of humanity. I would love to tell you that my personal story of being betrayed ended up we were just singing Kumbaya together. But what the Lord did is help me to process that we live in a fallen world, right? I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I behaved in very fleshly manners throughout my life. And then I shouldn't be surprised if somebody does the same to me. I remember asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn? And how do you want me to respond? How do you want me to respond? I hear the words of Jesus, and I see the life of Jesus in this story. But I also heard the Lord, redemption, forgiveness. My good friend, she's a quadriplegic up in Montana. She was driving her minivan to the grocery store and got T-boned and lost capacity to lead. And her quote was, sometimes life sucks, which I don't like to say that word, but that's what she said, but God's always good. Now, she said that about 20 years ago. About 2 years ago, her husband, who was her caretaker, he died. He was the one that was taking her to the bed, to the bathroom, to the shower, and he died. He had stomach cancer. He came and spoke at our church. About 10 years ago, he spoke here at Dick Schroeder. So I talked to her since then, and she mentioned it again. Sometimes life stinks, but God is still good. So if you've been betrayed, just remember that God can turn it around. If you've been the betrayer, go to God, and he can help you. Ask for forgiveness, and he will redeem your life. Romans 8:28, and I'll finish with that, because If I go much longer, I'm sure those kids will be coming up any second. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Trust in his ways. Trust in his ways. I don't feel like I'm an old guy, but I've lived a long time with Jesus, and I found that if you trust in his ways, if you trust in his ways, God will honor that with peace and joy. Trust in him. And if God's called you to, you know, Deanna talked about forgiveness and during the communion. If that's what needs to happen, ask the Lord to help, because God is good. Not my will be done, but yours be done, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Thank you for the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord. This betrayal that you experienced, but Lord, the betrayal of all humanity, Lord, that you drank that cup so that we might drink the cup of salvation like we did earlier today. The cup of salvation and life and abundant life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, anybody that might be going through some difficult times, Lord, help them to trust you, to always do the will of the Father. And I say thank you, God. Lord, for those of us who have given our lives to you, your Holy Spirit lives in us. And Lord, empower us to do the will of the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for setting a perfect example. Not my will, but your will be done. We love you, Father. Every eye closed, head bowed. You'd say, you know, Pastor Mario, I'm going to raise my hand here in a second, but I'm just going to ask you to help me in this area. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands down. Lord, we love you and ask that you would help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.